this morning during our worship, and actually over the weekend here, I've been thinking about, wouldn't it be awesome to see the hand of God moving in the miracles amongst us? How many here would like to see the miracle hand of God move? You know what he told me? He said, assure them that I will. Do you know what it's going to take? It doesn't take a super evangelist. It doesn't take somebody with credentials a mile long. Somebody that has, you know, wooed millions. What it takes is even what we've sung, an obedient heart. If you will, listen to this, if you will obey and do the last thing that God has spoken to your heart, you will see the miracle hand of God beginning to move amongst us. It won't ever get any more difficult than that. Simply obey what he has spoken into your heart, and you'll see him move in your behalf and in the behalf of all of those around us. When you see one in need, ask, Lord, how would you have us to touch, to speak, to reach out? Simply do with an obedient heart what he has spoken into that heart, and we'll see him move amongst us. I bless you.
So I thought this morning that I would take some time, since I am going to be your new senior pastor here as of next Sunday after the farewell service, thought I would take this opportunity to kind of give you guys a little bit of background of where I come from and, you know, everything I've been through in my life, how God has brought me into to where I am today. So that's what I wanted to do this day, just kind of give you a little bit of my life story, okay? First of all, I was born at a very young age in Fort Dix, New Jersey. My dad was in the Army, and so I was born in the Army hospital there in Fort Dix, New Jersey. I'm going to put this down before I step on it. I lived in New Jersey for about 6 months, first 6 months of my life before we moved to California. And grew up in a Christian home. I was saved when I was 5 years old. In my preschool class, it was a Christian preschool, and the teacher there asked if anybody, you know, was not a Christian yet, they would raise their hand, and me and this little girl raised our hands, and the teacher sent everybody else out to the playground to play, and she, you know, just sat down and prayed with us, and that's when I accepted Christ. It's one of my earliest memories in my life, is accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. Of course, I didn't completely understand what it meant at that time. I didn't have a full grasp of the commitment I was making or anything like that. But that was when I made that initial commitment to God of my life. Like I said, I grew up in a Christian home, a church home. My dad was the superintendent. While I was growing up, he was the athletic director at a Christian school. And as I grew up, he got promoted to superintendent of that Christian school. So I was in Christian school from kindergarten through high school. And I was a decent kid. I didn't get in too much trouble. I was a pretty good kid for the most part. Going into high school, my junior year of high school, I had an opportunity. We had this group of people come to our high school from an organization called Royal Servants International. And they were extending an opportunity for people who wanted to go on a missions trip to England, Scotland, and Europe. It was like a two-month commitment of just going overseas and traveling around and sharing the gospel. When I first heard it, first heard the presentation, I said, oh, that sounds kind of cool, but there's no way, you know. I had spent the night at friend's house before, you know, but that was one night, not 60 nights, you know. So I wasn't ready to be away from home for that length of time. And what I did, I have water too. What I did, I was home that afternoon after hearing the presentation, and I was kind of arguing with God a little bit, you know, because I could tell he was, you know, putting it on my heart that I should go on this missions trip, and it was, I was fighting him, but the thought that came through my mind, God spoke to me almost verbally. He said, "Doug, I gave you my son. The least you could do is give me a summer." And I said, okay. I can't argue with that, you know. So I went ahead and I raised the money, and I went on this missions trip, and it was an incredible experience. It was a life-changing experience of just, you know, traveling around and living in these campgrounds and going around doing these presentations for the people that were in these campgrounds and leading them to Christ, even though they didn't even speak English. You know, we had these four spiritual laws booklets. Have you ever heard of the four spiritual laws? There's these evangelistic booklets that you can have, and they make them in every single language you can imagine. So we would just carry these booklets around in all the different languages of the country we were in, and we would just kind of walk through the book because we knew what it said in English, and they could read it in their own language, and people were saved that way, just reading this booklet and having God work on their hearts through our presentations. I was part of the puppet team. I had a puppet that I still have at home that we would do these presentations with, and we had a drama team and a choir and all these other things. We would do these presentations, and it was an incredible experience. If you ever have an opportunity to go on any kind of a missions trip, I encourage you guys to do that, because it will change your life, seeing God work in miraculous ways. And if you just get out of your comfort zone and say yes to God, he can use you in amazing ways. And I tell you all this because throughout all these experiences, from, you know, my conversion when I was 5 years old all the way up through this point in my life, I can look back now and I can see God's hand working. I can see God's hand leading me and guiding me to bring me to where I am today. All these experiences have built up to bring me to where I am today, to prepare me for this and for what's coming next. I don't know what's coming next. So I got home from this missions trip, had my senior year of high school, and I was convinced going into my junior year of high school, I was convinced that I was going to go to a regular college, university. I had Christian school my whole life. You know, I was convinced that I was going to go, you know, I lived in the Bay Area, so I was convinced I was going to go to Stanford, I was going to go to Cal, I was, you know, go to a regular college and experience real life, you know, quote, real life, get out of the Christian bubble and experience life, you know. And but after this missions trip that I went on, it was just clear to me that God was saying, you need to know more about me. You need to go deeper in your knowledge of me. So I went ahead and I went to, I enrolled at Biola University in Southern California. It's a Christian college down there. And while I was there, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in computer science. That helps me in my current job right now. I work down at Raytheon during the week, taking care of their computer systems. So I got a major in that. I got a minor in biblical studies, which helps me in this position, you know, obviously. And so, again, I see God's hand working, guiding me, telling me where to go, what to do, to prepare me for what was coming. And I just had to be obedient. So I graduated from Biola. I lived in Los Angeles for 4 years after that, in Santa Monica. Worked for a company taking care of their computer systems, and their office was actually on the beach in Santa Monica. It overlooked the beach, their office building. I got to see Baywatch being filmed and all that kind of good stuff. It was pretty cool. But I lived there for about 4 years, and I started to get a little bit homesick, I guess, because I never really considered L.A. my home. My home was the Bay Area. That's where my parents were, where my the rest of my family was, where my friends that I grew up with, they were all there. And so I started to get a little bit homesick. I wanted to move back to the Bay Area. So, and again, as I look back, I can see that that was God working on my heart, maneuvering me into position. Because what happened next was I moved up to the Bay Area from Santa Monica in January of 2000. In July of 2000, Jackie moved down from Eureka to the Bay Area. She came with Pastor Johnny, who was taking over the Hayward Foursquare Church as senior pastor. And Jackie, who was the receptionist at the church up there in Eureka, heard that Pastor Johnny was moving down here and just felt appalled that she was supposed to go with him. She was supposed to follow him. So we both moved to the Bay Area within 6 months of each other. Jackie applies for a job as a receptionist at Redwood Christian Schools, which is the school that my dad is the superintendent of. And long story short, this is the really long story that is really drawn out that I'll tell you at some other time, but long story short, Pastor Johnny and my dad connived, manipulated, coerced until Jackie and I ended up meeting and ended up liking each other and loving each other and getting married. And so I blame Pastor Johnny. I mean, I thank Pastor Johnny. That's it. So that's another example of how I could just see God's hand working through Pastor Johnny, through my dad, through moving me to the Bay Area, through moving Jackie down to Hayward, you know, all these things. I could see God's hand working and moving things around so that things turn out the way they're supposed to turn out. Meanwhile, while I was engaged to Jackie, while we were dating, I was the leader at the church I was going to in Fremont, in the East Bay. I was the leader of a singles group there. That was my first real leadership type experience. Up until that point, I had always been a servant. I was convinced that my main spiritual gift was the gift of service. You know, I was always behind the scenes doing stuff. I was Paul Kelly. You know, I was behind the scenes setting up chairs and doing what needed to be done to make sure everything ran the way it should and doing the computers and you know, that kind of thing. And just really behind the scenes stuff. I didn't want to be up front. I felt no need to be up front. But as I started to lead this singles group, I started getting up in front. And I had my first experience with preaching and teaching people and you know, organizing events and kind of recruiting people to different responsibilities. And I found out I was actually pretty good at it, you know? And it was because that gift, the gift of leadership, the gifts of preaching and teaching, they were inside of me. But they were in seed form because I hadn't used them. I hadn't developed them. So as I started to use those gifts, they started to grow in me and develop, and I started to get better and better at what I was doing. And I say to you guys, you may have gifts inside of you that you don't know you have. You know, it's up to you to follow God's leading in certain situations, and maybe he can bring to light these gifts that you might have that you don't even know about. You just got to try different things, try new things, follow what God's telling you to do, say yes to him, even if it seems something that's out of your comfort zone, say yes to him and let him start to develop those gifts in you. You may not even know that you have them right now. So when Jackie and I got married, we had this decision to make because I was going to this church in Fremont where I was leading the singles group, and she was obviously at the Hayward Foursquare Church where Johnny was the pastor, and we had to decide where we were going to go to church, what was going to be our home church. And after much prayer and really, really difficult decision-making process, I felt surprising to Jackie because she thought I was really entrenched in the church that I was going to in Fremont, I felt led that I was supposed to join Johnny in the Hayward Foursquare Church. So we made that our home church. Johnny took me under his wing and started to develop my leadership skills. He helped me walk through the process of getting my pastor's license and got me up on stage preaching more and developing that gift and leading different ministries and things like that. And he really was instrumental in me becoming the man that I am today. And I appreciate that. I'm going to tell him that next week. But he's done so much for me. God's used him in my life in such an amazing way. And so I was the assistant pastor there at the Hayward Four Square Church from 2001 until 2005, when he pulled a group of us aside and started telling us that he had this dream to plant a church in Tucson. It's been his dream since he was in college, you know, that he was going to plant this church in Tucson. And he was, you know, he started telling people this dream of his, and people were lining up to go with him. You know, it was totally a God thing, because people were just saying, wow, yeah, okay, I'll go with you. Some people he asked, some people he just spoke about it, and they just felt called to follow him. And it was just, it was an amazing thing to watch God work in developing people for this move. So about 10 families moved from Hayward to Tucson in the summer of 2005 to help start Pathway of Hope. And obviously I was an assistant pastor up there. I came down here. I was also an assistant pastor helping Pastor Johnny, and you know most of the rest of the story because you've been here for most of it, where I've just continued to be trained by him and developed by God. And again, looking back over my life from when I was 5 years old and accepted Christ, growing up, missions trip, college, leadership development, Pastor Johnny, I just see God's hand working and moving circumstances around, moving people around to bring me to where I am today. But you know what? I had to be willing to say yes. That was my responsibility, was to do what I was asked to do. Just like Dick was saying after the worship time today, you've got to be willing to do that last thing that he has asked you to do before he's going to give you that next thing that he wants you to do. You got to do the thing he's asked you to do most recently. You got to say yes. If you had told me 5 years ago that I was going to be a senior pastor, I would have said, no way! God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God has the plan. He knows what needs to be done. He knows what needs to be moved around in your life to bring you to where you need to be. You got to say yes, though. Like I said, if you had asked me 5 years ago that I was going to be a senior pastor, I would have said, no, my plan in my mind was move to Tucson with Pastor Johnny. The church grows for 10 or 15 years. You know, it grows large enough where Pastor Johnny can bring me on as a full-time paid assistant pastor. And then, you know, after a while, like 15 years down the road from now, he hands the church over to me as senior pastor. You know, that was my plan. God had a different plan. And God knows best. He knows what's going on. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." We have our own plans. We have what we want to happen. But only God knows what's best. He's going to direct us, point us in the right direction, tell us where to go. And if we're obedient, then we're going to be used by him. But we got to be obedient. Paul in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he says, he says, imitate me. You know, look at what I'm doing in my life and imitate me, is what Paul said to the Corinthians. And I challenge you with the same thing. Imitate me. Follow me. Look at how I'm obeying God despite the fear. Because honestly, this is a scary thing. You know, becoming senior pastor of a church at this point in my life when I wasn't expecting that to happen, it's scary. But I'm following what God tells me to do. So imitate me. And do the same thing in your own life. Whatever God is calling you to do, whatever God's urging you to do, putting on your heart, do it. You won't regret it. Follow him. And he's going to do amazing things in your life. Miracles. But you got to be willing to obey. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. This is my favorite verse. I found this verse while I was dating Jackie, and the words immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, that was printed on our wedding invitations, because she is immeasurably more than all I could ask or imagine. But this is my favorite verse, and it's true of all of our lives. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God wants to do immeasurably more than we can even imagine. He wants to do that at Pathway. He wants to do that in your own life. The things that you can imagine, the most crazy thing that could happen to you, the most awesome thing that could ever happen to your life, he wants to do more than that. But you got to be willing to take that step despite your fear. Get out of your comfort zone and say yes to God. He wants to do that. He wants to perform miracles in this church. He wants to see his spirit so thick in this room on a Sunday morning that people walk through the doors and they just can't even breathe because God's presence is so thick in this room. People can't even walk to their chairs. They're just falling on the ground because God's presence is so pungent. In this room, you can taste him. That's what God wants to do, and that's what I can imagine. So imagine what he's actually going to do. Wow. God wants to change your life, but you got to say yes. Got to say yes to that next thing that he's asking you to do. What God's been telling me over the past month since I told Pastor Johnny that I would take this position at the church, God's been speaking to me. And what he's been telling me is that he wants to move. God wants to move at Pathway. God wants to change lives through Pathway. He wants to use us. So he gave me this vision statement that we're going to use for our church. And it says this. It says, we exist to glorify God by being a spirit-filled people, empowered by him to accomplish his perfect will in an imperfect world. That's going to be Pathway. But you know what? We got to say yes. We got to say yes, God, this is what I want. I want to change the world. I want you to change the world through our church. I want you to accomplish your will in Tucson, in Catalina, through our church. I want to be a spirit-filled people. I'm going to spend about 3 weeks, starting after the next week's Farewell Sunday, I'm going to spend about 3 weeks on this vision statement, breaking it down for you and telling you exactly what God's been laying on my heart for Pathway. And I'm excited. And I hope you're excited too, because God's going to do amazing things here at Pathway. But we got to say yes. Will you join me? Say yes. Yeah. Amen. Yay, God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for your amazing power. Lord, we praise you for the direction that you're guiding this church into, this new phase of Pathway, the new age of Pathway, Lord, of being Spirit-filled and you moving in our services. Lord, we want that. We're ready for that. We want all of you. We want more of you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Use this church to transform Pathway, Lord. Let people driving down the road, driving down Oracle on a Sunday morning, just feel your presence, that they have to turn off the road and come in here. They don't even know why, Lord, but your Spirit is just over this building and inside this building, and they're just drawn to it, Lord.
Yes.
Change lives. Bring people to you here at Pathway. Let them enter this place and feel your presence so thickly that they have no excuse but to admit that you are real and that you love them.
Yes.
Change lives in this church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come like you promised you would. I want to surrender for good. That I need you, and I don't want to keep living life alone. So take my heart, make it new, make it true, make it like you. So take my hands, lift them high. Feel like a blind man in your sight. Know that I'm wicked in your eyes. So wash me and make me shine like the sun. Want to tell everyone that you're the only one. So take my heart, make it new. True, make it like you. So take my hands, lift them high. Yours, not mine to do. Do what you will. Do what you will. Do what you will. Yeah. Do what you will. Do
I'll leave you this morning with my favorite verse as a benediction from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed. Thank you.